At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $2,499 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Wow, what a start to the day we've had in the Scottish Premiership. Celtic, one up, creating chance after chance after chance. You're thinking routine 3 points. All of a sudden, St Johnstone score in the 93rd minute to pull level. And then Celtic score in the 95th to win it, Hugh Keevans, and move 5 points ahead of Rangers, who now go and play St Mirren. And in our wacky world, the Rangers fans who were going into the game, they heard the equaliser, they were beeping their horns, the chance to go level with Celtic. And then up popped Georgios Giakoumakis. So Rangers now need to go and take care of their business anyway and keep the pressure on.
The cliche is a roller coaster of emotions, and a cliche is a comfort at a time like this, because the roller coaster of emotions stretched from Perth to Govan. But Celtic have to be, of course, absolutely thrilled and delighted with their win. But there were many flaws contained within it, and that there are questions that Ange Postecoglou has to answer. And I think Ange Postecoglou got away with one himself today, because he took off the big hitters like O'Reilly and Tatati before the game was anything like settled. And at 1-1, that looked a very serious mistake. But Giakoumakis, who had done next to nothing all day long, popped up with the winner. And it all of a sudden became a magnificent 3 points for Celtic, because had they drawn, had they failed to capitalise on all the domination that they had, they were playing into Rangers' hands. And now the pressure does switch to Rangers, because they simply cannot afford to slip up against the resurgent St Mirren.
It seems whether it's Real Madrid or St Johnstone, a lot of Celtic's problems start with not taking chances. That today, very easily, we're sitting here saying 3-0, 4-0, and there's no fuss, and the substitutions aren't questioned, and Ange Postecoglou is not questioned, and there's no horns being beeped. But once you don't take your chances, St Johnstone got bleating credit to them. You could see it. They were good. They were active. They went forward and got their equaliser. Why are Celtic having so many problems putting chances away at the moment?
It's a good question. It's the first time the manager's had to face such a problem. Look, for years gone back to my time before me, it's always the Celtic backline that usually gets it, and now for once it's the other end. Now, the hardest thing in the game is scoring goals. We hear it all the time, and creating chances. Now, they've got the creating chances, but down to a tee, against the top opposition as well, and today created many, many chances. But it's just that killer instinct, that final bit of the jigsaw that they're failing in. And it's not just one player, which you could maybe excuse, you know, Kyogo, Giakoumakis, Abada, you know, guys who we've seen in the past year, you know, scoring with ease, are now struggling in front of goal. Now, you would be more concerned as a manager if you weren't creating the chances, of course. So that's the one piece of encouragement they can take. But look, Hugh's right. I mean, what looked like a routine 3 points for Celtic turned into a disaster has turned into a magnificent 3 points, because when you win league titles at the end of the year, you need a few of them along the road.
Well, that's it, Gordon Dale. Mm-hmm. Some people, and you're more than entitled to, would look at today and maybe Motherwell and say, oh, this is a team that's struggling. This is a team that's not going to keep winning forever. However, last season, think Anthony Ralston and Dingwall, think Lille Abada at home to Dundee United. Sometimes these are actually the days that kick you on towards a title. So we'll find out between now and May.
I know the discussions about the finishing off teams, and especially at any level, if you don't get that killer goal that's just going to put a team to bed and don't give them any confidence to try and get back in the game, then you're always going to run the risk. And that's what happened to Celtic today. But it doesn't matter if it's the first minute or a 95th minute or whatever it may be. Goals are important, and Celtic have shown that they've got that in their locker. You know, when it all looked like we're thinking points dropped at Perth, what happens? Great ball in. Giakoumakis, who has been horrendous today, had an off day, he comes up with a winner. That's what good teams, good players do when they're against the cosh a little bit. Sometimes you've got to be stand up and be counted. Celtic are very good at it. Yes, you can look at the substitutions, you can look at the goals, everything like that, but the bottom line is Celtic have went there today and got a valuable 3 points.
But we've also gone on about the chance taking and how poor it was and how much of a problem it has become for Celtic. St Johnstone scored one goal and should have scored another because they had a chance. We can argue which category the chance fell into, but Gordon Dale, striker of high repute in his day, knows enough to say you've got to score.
Oh, for sure. I think we're talking about the chronology of it, because the Celtic's chances all come first, and then if you put them away, then you know that it doesn't sort of pan out that way. But as a manager, what do you do, Hugh? You shake somebody and say
Score.
Yeah. Be better at putting the ball in the net.
But the point I'm going to make, Gordon, is that we've gone on about the strikers, and Deizen Meda has become practically eccentric in front of goal now. But defensively, they're not getting the job done either. There were two VAR decisions away from a 5-1 against Leipzig, and today St Johnstone could have scored more than one goal. Defensively, they're not formidable.
The argument is 29 goals in games.
Also, see, on the VAR thing, if it rules out the goal, it rules out the goal. It shouldn't then be used as a stick to beat you with. You know, it's an illegitimate goal that doesn't stand.
All right, then. They lost 3-1, and today they could have lost 2-1. Defensively, they are not formidable.
But it's been, you know, it's been all over the place a bit. Carter Vickers out, Starfelt out, Jens in, Welsh in, today Burnaby and Ralston. They are not as consistent in the back line, I will agree with that, as they were last year. But that will settle down. We're early in the season.
So how many chances did are Celtics and Rangers, for that matter, because they're the big favourites, does the defence basically need to give up no chances? Because I know it was dramatic, right? I get it was dramatic. I was here, I felt the drama. But when you eventually take a breath, St Johnstone maybe had two chances then.
Yeah.
Are you only successful if you can limit them to none?
Everybody tells me a league table never lies. They've lost 5 goals in 9 games gone. They've scored 29. So I wouldn't be going anywhere near a panic button just now. Yes, I'm sure that Postecoglou's thinking, look, stick another couple of chances in the back of net, we're on easy street, we don't put ourselves under this pressure. But sometimes when that doesn't happen, you come under the pressure, you've got to respond. And to be fair to Celtic's afternoon, they responded.
And the chances, they will come. It goes in cycles. You can't continue just to miss chance after chance. It will come right. It's the creating of the chances that's probably harder than anything. And they're doing fine with that. The one concern for me today for Celtic would be the substitutions coming on. We talk about how the squad is big and strong and they've got replacements for each player. I still believe that, but they need to step up. The understudies that come on today were off it by miles, and that needs to improve. The level of performance, because they're good players, the level of performance have to improve for them.
Gordon, Rangers now know what they need to do. Gabriel gave us the team. So to recap, quite a few changes actually. The headline would be no Ryan Kent from the start. We don't say that too often in the league. So Sakala and Matondo get the chance to support Antonio Colak, so he returns to the starting 11. And Leon King drops out because it goes back to a back four. So, you know, Tavernier, Goldson, Davies and Barisic, Jack Lundstrom and Arfield in midfield. What do you make of that team and the challenge that lies in wait for Rangers as they look to claw some of that gap back?
I like the look of it, Gordon. I think it's got good pace on it. Cholak's got a point to prove again, to say, look, I want to play in the big games as well as the domestic games. I totally think that most Rangers fans going along to Ibrox or sitting at Ibrox just now will be quite happy in the fact that Kent's been brought out the firing line, because he's not been producing the goods. I think they were more encouraged when Sakala and Matondo come on and against Liverpool, gave them a bit of pace, bit of width. But I go back to, right, Sakala, Matondo, great pace, they'll give the width at Ibrox. Me just now, I'm looking at these two players, probably like most supporters, thinking every time they do their best work, it's coming off the bench and their impact. They've got to go out and stop that reputation. They've got to go out and say, we can do it from the first minute to the last, and we've got to put a bit of pressure on the manager. I like the look at it. I'm delighted Cholak's back in. I think he's a goal scorer. I think he deserves to be in, and it'll be interesting to see. I fancy Rangers to win this. afternoon.
So that's Ibrox. We've already been to McDermott Park, and we will go around the rest of the grounds next.
The fastest goals, the experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Celtic stretched the lead at the top. Many expected that bit, but it was a bit more dramatic than some people would have anticipated. A late, late winner for Georgios Giakoumakis to see off St Johnstone in the end. Rangers, we know what they now have to do if they want to try and keep up, and we've given you the team there. Let's go to the rest of the games. We can't go anywhere else other than Livingston, because the crossbar was bent. Is it straight again, Fraser Wishart?
It's not straight. They've actually had to take the permanent goals out and put, you know, the sort of temporary goals that are on wheels. They've put them in place, and apparently they think it might have been somebody, maybe kids breaking in last night and swinging the bar. But however, the delegate is quite happy with that to happen. I think lines with the referees, because what's the option? You put a game off because they've got a wee slightly bent bar and they've got other alternatives. So common sense in Scottish football, maybe don't go hand in hand some things, but it certainly has happened here. So game's going to go ahead, temporary goals in place, but that was a funny moment. David Martindale out with the jack and the wood trying to straighten the bar. It was really good.
Wow. So you know the goals you get on the wheels at the side of, you know, like Wishaw Sports Centre, Gordondale, yeah, that you would use up there. So they're going to be used in a top flight game in the Scottish Premiership, because we think maybe some kids have been swinging on the crossbar and bent it, and the manager getting his toolkit out to fix it was not enough.
Yeah, he'll need to wait his day off tomorrow to get in there and obviously pull it apart and sort it. But
he had a night off last night. He wasn't on security duty to keep the kids out.
The positive thing for everyone there, the game's going ahead, Gordon. They're obviously the right measurement, so no problem.
I hope somebody has consulted the rule book.
Well, the delegate is happy with it, Fraser Wishart says, so there we go.
I wonder if the delegate had to phone someone else
absolutely.
By the way, what is the ruling on this? Have we ever had this before?
Get a couple of wee ball boys behind the goals wheeling it to side.
Well, that would be the thing. See if someone like, if there's a set piece and someone leans on the post, the goal will move.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, if the delegate says, okay, well, it's on the delegate's head, but I'm not entirely sure that this would be allowed to go on elsewhere.
Let's just enjoy the madness. Yeah. Let's embrace it. Fraser, has David Martindale had time to pick a team?
He has had time to pick a team. I mean, I have to say, I'm not sure the goals will be much in threat these days, because the games I see, they're usually 0-0. There's not much happening, and this could be another one. Livy haven't been great over the last couple of weeks. I've seen them not been at their best. And Ross County, of course, 5-0 during the week, so their confidence will be a wee bit fragile. So hopefully these goals will get tested today, you know, by either team, because, you know, you have to say that we're getting to the 10th or 11th game of the season. Ross County need to kick-start their season very quickly. I'll quickly give you the teams for Livingston. 4-1-4-1, Shamal George in goals, Nicky Devlin, Ayo Belai, Sean Kelly and Christian Montano at the back. Jason Holt sits behind, Dylan Bahambula, Andrew Chinney, Scott Pittman and Joel Newbley, with Curtis Guthrie up front. For Ross County, it's a 4-2-3-1. Ross Laidlaw's in goals, Keith Watson, Jack Baldwin, Alex Iacoviti and Ben Purrington at the back. Davin Cancola and Jordan Tilson will sit in midfield, with Awura Edwards, Ross Callaghan and Kazim Olagbe behind the lone striker, Jordan White. And the referee, a young guy who's probably had a day he wouldn't have expected, I think, in one of his first Premiership games, is Graham Granger.
Graham, get up the road after this and crack open a cold one. He's had a tough afternoon, the ref. But he didn't expect that on his early start into Scottish Premiership life. A bit more straightforward at Hibs Motherwell, is it, David Friel?
Yeah, Gordon, no problems with the crossbars here. And I'm also happy to report the Motherwell team bus has made it here on time. I don't know if you saw it yesterday, but it broke down on the way from Dingwall in midweek. Stevie Hamill said he and his players needed 3 coaches in the end to get back from their trip to the Highlands and get back in the house at 4 a.m. But they've made it safely today and on time, and I'm sure they're arriving at Easter Road full of confidence after that 5-0 win over Ross County. Kevin Van Veen got a hat-trick, he's now in 10 for the season. You know what he's like, he's full of confidence. I'm sure he'll be looking for more today. Looking at the table, Motherwell could even be in third place by tea time, with Aberdeen playing later on, if they get a win here today and St Mirren lose at Ibrox. But the same goes for Hibs. They start the day in fourth position. I'm expecting a really entertaining game between two good teams. We'll go for it. Looks like pretty similar 4-3-3 formations as well. Hibs have also got a VIP guest. This guy, what a player he was. Frank Sozzi is back at Easter Road for the first time in almost 20 years. The French legend played for Marseille, won the European Cup for Marseille. He was nicknamed Le God. That's my standard grade French coming back during his playing spell at Easter Road. But his time as a manager only lasted 69 days. I don't think he ended in the best terms with Easter Road board, but He's still a hero to the fans, and he's back today as the special guest. So Lee Johnson's side, I'm sure, will be out to impress him today. Hibs have won three in a row. They're on a good run of form, and Lee Johnson sticks with the team that won at Ross County last week. David Marshall's in goals. Chris Cadden, Ryan Portis, Paul Hanlon and Marianne Cabraja at the back. Noan Kenny, Josh Campbell and Joe Newell will be the middle three, with Martin Boyle and Eli Yuan in behind Mykola Kukarevich. And the subs for Hibs are Schofield, McGuinness, Tavares, Stevenson, Henderson, Melkerson, McCurdy, McGregor and Fish. That's from Motherwell, no surprises, they also stick with the team that won 5-0 at Ross County. It's Liam Kelly in goals, Paul McGinn against his old sides at right back, Sondre Solholm, Ricky Lamy and Matt Penny at the back, Callum Slattery, Sean Goss and Blair Spittle in midfield, with Joe Efford and Connor Shields supporting Kevin Van Veen. Subs for Motherwell are Oxburgh, Maguire, O'Donnell, McKinstry, Mugabe, Cornelius, Moult, Morris and Tierney. And the referee at a very sunny Easter Road is Grant Irvin.
It's a good game you've got in your hands, David, isn't it? You look at Hibs starting to string some wins together, and then, you know, Motherwell, we're talking a lot about Celtic and chance taking, and how, you know, it still can be a good indication that things are going in your way, because Motherwell couldn't score, but they were knocking on the door so often. Stevie Hamill kept the faith, and then I'm not sure many predicted that it would be a five in Dingwall during the week, but it all came together at once.
Yeah, it didn't. And sometimes you listen to players saying it will click, and, you know, we're going to give someone a battering at some point. And after, I think, the Hearts game, you know, Motherwell lost 3-0 to Hearts, but everybody after that game said how well they'd played, how many chances. And even at Celtic Park last week, okay, they rode their luck, but they gave a good account of themselves, and I think it did all click during the week. You know, 5-0 win, very convincing, very entertaining stuff as well. Kevin Van Veen, he's on fire at the moment, Gordon, but they're up against a really improving Hibs side, I think it's fair to say. You know, three wins in a row, they're above Hearts, they want to stay above Hearts, that's how it's ranked in the capital. And as I said, with Aberdeen playing later, both teams have a chance, you know, a chance to kind of to move up, and obviously they'll be hoping Rangers take care of St Mirren at Ibrox and, you know, maybe push up into third or fourth place.
Yeah, a lot to like about that fixture. Now, of course, we would have gone to Dundee United Aberdeen, but it's a 6 o'clock kickoff, Hugh, an experiment to see how it works. I think the ticket sales have been good. We know that Dave Cormack and the American owners like to try and I know he's not American in that regard, but like to try and do things a bit different and see how they can market the game better and so on. So we'll have to wait to build up to that one.
Well, we understand that sales of tickets for the game have been good. If you're an Aberdeen fan, by my recollection, Aberdeen is 70 miles from Dundee, so you've got a 140 mile round trip. The game will finish around 8 o'clock on a Saturday night, so they do travel in good numbers, those Aberdeen supporters. I have no doubt that they're in good numbers tonight, but if they're willing to do it, then supporters of other clubs will show the same willingness, I think.
Do you know who I've not heard from yet? Gordon DL, can you think?
Roger Hanna.
We've dispatched him to the Championship today.
Yes.
That 6 o'clock kickoff's done him in. He's been sent to Somerset Park. We know he's a proud Ayrshireman, up against Queen's Park today. Roger Hanna.
Oh, believe me, Gordon, 3 o'clock in Ayr is far, far preferable to 6 o'clock in Dundee. And this game is certain to have implications for the top of the Championship table. Queen's Park, if they win, they will move 2 points clear at the top, having just been newly promoted from League One, of course. Even a draw would take the Spiners level in points with Partick and Inverness after that controversial defeat for Ian McCall's men in the Highlands last night. And an Ayr United victory would take them level with the top two, so the stakes really are high. Queen's Park could have been top if they'd not lost at home to Morton on Tuesday night's Owen Coyle looking to bounce back from that. And Ayr could also have been up at the summit, but for back-to-back defeats to Raith and Inverness in their last two games, their first league defeats of the season. I'll just run through the teams here. I've got Charlie Albinson in goal. It's a back four, Jordan Houston, Alec Kirk, Frankie Masonda and Paddy Redding. Across the middle, Josh Mullen, Paul Smith, Ben Dempsey and Logan Chalmers. And up top, top scorer, Dipo Akinyemi, with Brad Young on the bench, McAdams, O'Connor, McKenzie, Mitchell Lawson, Ashford and McAllister, McGinty, Bangala and Ekrapon. As for Queen's Park, it's Callum Ferry in goal. As a back four also, Jason Naismith, Lico Day, Stephen Ezzie and Tommy Robson. Across the middle, Jack Thompson, Malachi Boateng, Grant Savory and Dom Thomas. And up front, Scott Williamson with the captain, Simon Murray. On the bench, Herity, Longridge and Kenny, McPake, Davidson and Moore, Bannon, Jarrett and David Boateng. The referee is Don Robertson. It's been interesting, people here in the press box have been following the Livingston crossbar debate on Super Scoreboard there, Gordon, but they assure me David Martindale is not alone. They tell me Gordon Dale was seldom far from a bar when he was manager here.
Yeah, I've heard those accusations as well, but he's a changed man. The reason he can't answer you with some clever comment is because he's too busy eating his salad, which stinks, by the way.
And by the way,
how much does that smell?
It's ruined the afternoon.
This tiny wee studio, it's that wee box we're in, and that stinks.
That's a lovely salad.
I'm not saying it doesn't taste good, but it smells, and it came at a cost because you almost smashed the glass in the shop to buy it. So
yeah, I'm delighted one strand down at Somerset. It's in good form. That'll be a good game, I've got to say. It's Championship, never easy to get out of.
As you well know, let's hear from the managers ahead of the game at Ibrox, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and Stephen Robinson.
Well, I think they had a great start of the season. You know, the last six games, they won five games or even, so it's a very good run. They had a great result lately. Very recognizable team, the way they play, you know, very, very aggressive, you know, find the two strikers really quick, a lot of runners from midfield, transition moments really strong, and defensive really compact. So, you know, if you are third in the league, it means, you know, you started the season well. So credit to St Mirren for the way they started the league.
And of course, the man looking to go there and get something this afternoon is Stephen Robinson.
I think a lot of it's mindset. You know, obviously it's difficult to recreate a 60,000 stadium. I think Michael Arteta tried to do it before he went to Anfield. I'm not sure our speakers would work here to do that. But, you know, it's difficult. It is very difficult to recreate that atmosphere. And it's about the boys playing with calm minds and sticking to what we're good at and not trying to do anything different. You know, and that's, we've reiterated that some. You know, we've worked on Rangers' strengths. We've worked on where we believe we can expose Rangers as well. You know, so every team's got weaknesses, every team's got strengths, and, you know, we've prepared diligently as we always do.
And there we are then, the scene is set. We know that Celtic have stretched their lead. Can Rangers respond? Will Motherwell's goal scoring continue, or will it be Hibs' impressive run? Will the crossbar remain straight at Livy? All the big questions, and you're about to get the answers next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super
Scoreboard. We take our hat off to you, Hugh Keevans. You got your prediction bang on for Celtic's trip to St Johnstone. What are the 3 o'clock games looking like? You've only got a couple to choose from, and we'll do our featured Championship one as well.
Rangers will beat St Mirren comfortably. I hate to do this to you. I think Motherwell will beat Hibs at Easter Road. And Livy, bent crossbar or not, will beat struggling Ross County. And Roger Hanna will watch the mighty Queen's Park beat Ayr United.
Wow. Oh, right, okay. Mark Wilson, I'm going to go, yeah, Rangers 1, a Hibs 1, I'll go a Livy 1, Ayr United 1, and an Aberdeen 1 away at Tannadice later.
Gordon Dalziel.
Full house at Ibrox Rangers for me. Hibs Motherwell draw, Livingston Ross County draw, Ayr United Queen's Park a home win for the Somerset boys.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard Goal Flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements. Trade accounts available now. Call them today.
Let's go then. 3 o'clock games getting underway, hot on the heels of Celtic's dramatic 2-1 victory at St Johnstone. We are going to hear from Ange Postecoglou and Callum Davidson. We're going to get you a first half teaser. We're going to keep you across all the balls being kicked in the 3 o'clock games. And there'll probably be a little bit of nonsense on a Saturday afternoon for you as well. So sit back, strap yourselves in. I'll give you the nod later when the open line is here, and that's when you can get in touch on the phones and have your say. It was a dramatic start to the day, Hugh. Just on a purely dramatic basis, we'd take a bit more of that this afternoon.
But I would find it difficult to imagine that any of the games will have the excitement that was contained within 96 minutes at McDermott Park in Perth. It was a sensational start to the day. But for Rangers, they go into the match after the fans blaring and tooting their horns outside because they thought it was going to end 1-1 in Perth. The old demands are there on Rangers. Celtic are 5 points clear and they have to do something about it.
And of course, Gordon Dalziel, that is the challenge. We know that Rangers, the fans going along, that's what you do. You keep an ear out or an eye out for the other results, and you get a brief moment of optimism. Then it just goes back to probably what you expected. They would have expected Celtic to win, and they'll have to respond today.
Yeah, and I think the Rangers fans will be expecting their own team to win today. They're at home. Yeah, you've got to say St Mirren have come into this with good form. But you're away to Rangers. They've made changes, they've got good width, they've got pace. A bit interesting, but I fancy Rangers to win this one. convincingly, Gordon, I've got to be honest.
And before the game even got underway at Easter Road, a huge ovation for the returning Frank Sozzi. What a player he was. The Hibs fans adore him. He's back at Easter Road and they're showing their appreciation.
Silky player, Frank Sozzi, absolutely adored by the fans in Leith. And nice to see him back, because he left the club under a cloud after Gordon Dalziel's side had knocked Hibs out of the cup at the semi-final stage. So in actual fact, Gordon Dalziel is responsible.
I did not know that.
Driving
a
wedge.
No, I didn't. Undone. Yeah. He's a master tactician.
That's the only story from your career I've not heard about. He 43
times. He drove a wedge between Frank Sozzi and Hibs and changed the course of the man's life.
Remarkable.
I can only apologise to Monsieur Frank. He was a very interesting guy to talk to after a game.
I mean, I bet when he looks back on it, the European, the Champions League success, all the France caps, all that, just all ruined because of you, really.
No, I don't think his playing career was. I ruined his management career. But what a, as Hugh quite rightly said, what a football player he was. Talented, brilliant.
Incredible.
Glided across the pitch.
Frank Sozzi the sack. I can't believe I didn't know that.
Tactically outdone him at Hampden on that big pitch with a smaller team. But
only don't know, Gordon, because during
he's
the break,
forgotten.
When you were at the toilet during the break, he spent the break telling us Hugh that. So
but usually you've heard all these stories.
No, I think he's still got a few up his sleeve that we don't know.
No, but the reason, Hugh, that the only way he will fail to tell a story is if he forgets.
Yeah.
We were sitting in there having a coffee before the show the other day, and he hit out with the, oh, hold on, I've got one of these already.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
And it's a goal for Rangers. Antonio Colak early on opens the scoring. We know what that man is capable of in domestic football, and he's picked up where he left off. An incredible return. 4 minutes on the clock, Rangers 1, St Mirren 0.
He's entitled to go over to Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and say, well, do you still think you made the right decision to start with Alfredo Morelos at Anfield instead of me? For me, after the kind of run that Colak was on, to be left out by his manager for that game against Liverpool, I don't think Giovanni Van Bronckhorst made the right call.
Do you know what I like about him, Hugh? This is where I think he's really grown with me. At the beginning of his Rangers career, he came in for a lot of criticism, a waste of money, it shouldn't have been a signing. He just shrugged that off.
Yeah.
And the hardest thing in the game is to score goals. Let's not be kidding. Hardest thing in the game is to score goals. And he just keeps head down. Yeah. And even when he gets a disappointment of getting left out, Liverpool, Napoli, he just keeps coming back and back and back. And I agree with you. I said earlier, if I score a couple of goals today and I'm not in the team against Liverpool, I'm champing the manager's door.
And this one's just about brilliant striker's instinct. Borna Barisic lines up a shot from distance. Colak's got a lot of ground to make up, and he just runs in. The ball hits the post, and Colak's just there to tap it in. It comes at him. He's almost sort of bundled it into the net, but only because he knew to put himself in that position. Mark Wilson, I've got
great
another
reactions
goal to tell you about.
Yeah.
But first of all, you cannot argue with what this guy is doing in front of goal.
He's a proper number nine, and that's how he's different from Morelos. Morelos will battle and he'll hold things up and he'll score his fair share of goals, a good goal scorer. But this guy leads the line, and he's always in the right place at the right time, and he can finish it off. Because that, by the way, came back to him at a fair pace, and his instincts, his reactions are top class here.
In our featured championship match that Roger Hanna's at, we've got a goal as well. Air United 1, Queen's Park 0. Dipo Akinyemi on 6 minutes. Header at the back post from Paddy Redding's cross. And Gordon Dalziel's former side in front. Arbroath 0, Dundee 1 in the championship as well. Talk about the old second season after the fairy tale. Are both really toiling. Zach Rudden has them in front. FC Edinburgh, top of that League One. You would have found that out on Beat the Pundit this week.
Ah, so yeah, that's right, yeah.
Danny Handling, who scored in midweek against Peterhead, has scored again at home to Kelty Hearts.
Have you seen their new home, FC Edinburgh, where they play?
Yes.
Meadowbank. Have you seen where the away fans go?
Yes.
That's questionable. If you're paying money for a
you
ticket,
you need a telescope to see the action. Yeah. You're so far off.
Yeah, I drove past it last week and I thought that's a big change for where they were. They had a great wee setup at Spartans before. But if you're a away fan going there, Daz, you're not happy. You are miles away behind fences.
Well, never affect me, mate.
I can't help but look forward, Hugh. I mean, there's so much football still to be played. But if this happens again, well, it has. I mean, Čolak scored, and he may well add another. Can he be left out again in the Champions League this midweek? Well, how often do you keep doing that?
I think the manager picked the wrong team for Anfield. Not just with regard to Morelos starting ahead of Čolak, and not for the first time, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's team selection has been questioned by Rangers supporters. So I agree, you cannot have this guy who scores every Saturday for you, and come midweek you leave him out.
Although you could also say that it wouldn't have mattered who played up front for Rangers the other night. That in no way, you know, swayed anything. But just from Antonio Čolak's point of view, or does he just need to accept he is the league striker and Alfredo Morelos is the Champions League striker if he doesn't get the nod this week?
I don't think you can accept that if you're a striker. And plus the fact, okay, Liverpool for me were comfortable at two. The best chance that Rangers had to score was Čolak. I know Matondo had a good effort as well, but
still,
I thought,
want to start games though, don't you?
100%. And he's entitled to ask the question because he's doing everything right.
Good game at Easter Road end to end, but no goals there. No goals in our 3 o'clock Premiership games apart from Rangers. Antonio Čolak goal 4 minutes in has them one up on St Mirren. Let's do the teaser, Hugh, if you're ready.
I am.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Quite straightforward. Name the last four Rangers players and the last four Celtic players to be sent off in European competitions from the group stages onwards. Name the last four from Celtic and the last four from Rangers sent off in European competitions from the group stages onwards.
Right, go on then. Get your guesses in at Clyde SSB and let us know the answers. You need to get them all. You need to put them all on one tweet. And you need to beat everyone else to the punch. It's that simple. So at Clyde SSB, get your guesses in and try and win that first half teaser. I'll read out some of your wrong answers, some of your good attempts, and ultimately the winner a bit later in the half. Morton are one up against Hamilton Accies. Jack Baird with the opener there, much to the delight of the home fans at Capel Oak.
And the wee guy that you beat the pundit,
yes,
with me.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Delighted he'll be there.
I think Wraith were 1-0 down to Cove as well a few moments ago. I forgot to read that one out to you. Am I right in saying, did you see this? They've upgraded in the striker department from your day. Wraith have added a 6'8" new signing.
Have they?
Six foot eight. Mm-hmm.
Who is it?
Can't remember his name. It's only 6'8". That's all you need to know. That's the important bit.
A guy that couldn't get a game at basketball.
Incredible.
Must be good in there.
Oh, you would have thought
They'll never upgrade from the old days, Gordon. Let's be honest.
Stevie Crawford.
Stevie Crawford was a good player, but never in my league with goals. It'll be interesting to see how, you know, Ian Murray does up there.
You're still the top goal scorer there.
I'll be the top goal scorer
there. Honestly?
Until the end of time.
Are you honestly top goal scorer for Wraith?
All time, yeah.
How many?
John Fredriksson is the name you're looking for.
Hundreds, did you say?
Yeah.
You've scored hundreds of goals, have you?
Yeah.
Have you? No. I'll need to check that.
All time. There'll be a statue there when I go.
It's a bit dark. That's well, in venue.
No, it's something. By the way, I'll tell you what, the only thing I will demand of you guys is, okay, Hugh, you're out this. If when I go.
Oh, can we not? Can we not talk this way on a family show?
I want to make sure he's got a stand named after me.
I think that ship has sailed to
any particular
honest.
Ground.
Yeah, East Stirling's. That's a supermarket now, isn't it?
Rangers, loads of chances now. Arfield, close range, good save. And then another one from Ryan Jack's shot led to a corner. Rangers one up, all Rangers. And we said it with that, with the Celtic game, Hugh, the key. And you know what? Maybe there's a bit of a contradiction here because Celtic nearly blew it from there. Uh-huh. If you score early, it changes everything. There's no. No nerves set in really, yeah. as such, and it's certainly if you get the second.
I think that the Rangers supporters were put through the ringer before the game started because they thought that Celtic had slipped up. They were convinced that the league was turning. So they needed to have the consolation of an early goal from their team so that they didn't get further agitated. So it's an ominous start for St Mirren.
Taverniers had a shot tipped over.
Yeah.
Proper one-way
but,
traffic.
You know, it was the same story at Perth. It was an ominous start for St Johnstone. Celtic looked lively, but the old failing, unable to take their chances, eventually led to the 93rd minute equaliser. And I repeat, to the eternal credit, they had the presence of mind to get up the other end and retrieve their own mistake.
Stirling Albion on a very good run, one up against Dumbarton, who's, that's a top of the table clash actually, that one.
Who scored?
Robert Thompson on 11 minutes.
Yeah, I think that when you play Rangers or Celtic, you know, in the Premier League, if you're a team, it's the second goal that's the most important. Everybody talks about the first goal changes game. The second goal against Rangers Celtic, you think that's a game put
done,
to bed.
Yeah,
done. Well, you're, and it showed today with St Johnstone, 1-0, the clock's ticking away there. You're getting better. You make a couple of substitutions. You've created a wee couple of chances, confidence. And it nearly worked off for St Johnstone, but it's the second goal for me. The minute the second goal goes in, then it's game finished.
And then there's a food chain element to all this. It's a bit like midweek when Liverpool scored the second. You knew the game was done.
Yeah.
And it just kind of kills it as a contest. If the second one comes early, there's only two possibilities. You feel either the dominant side kicks on and makes it a real sore one, or you just kind of hang in there, and that's what happens. So we'll see how St Mirren cope with this. Stirling Albion 2-up, a quick fire one there. So Paul McLean has added a second against Dumbarton on 12 minutes as Rangers keep knocking the door. Joe Efford almost goes through for Motherwell. A good tackle from Paul Hanlon. I must admit, I didn't know that. That passed me by, that Motherwell's bus broke down.
Yeah.
And needed three separate coaches. I mean, if, of all the places.
I followed the
Dingwall,
bus
midweek.
Having
well just go to a hotel, wouldn't you?
Having tipped the Celtic result at Perth, if I get this one right about Motherwell winning in Edinburgh, I should retire, really, shouldn't I?
Yeah, I wish you hadn't mentioned it, quite frankly.
No, I actually quite hope he gets this right.
Well, he's on a good run.
We'll hold him.
I mean,
he's
even
worked.
Got the scoreline right. McDermott Park,
yeah,
that is saying something.
On form, Hewitt.
I'll give you the thoughts of Ange Postecoglou very soon indeed. I think you'll like it. You'll be interested in it, certainly one way or the other. Chris Cadden, of course, former Motherwell players, had a shot charged down by Sean Goss, so good chance for Hibs. An entertaining game there at Easter Road. Hibs are pretty slick in their passing. I know that's something Lee Johnson was trying to implement, maybe didn't get it all right at the start of his tenure.
But it's a good incentive with Easter Road. You know, either team won there, you're looking at St Mirren or one down, it's into third place.
Oh. Is the assumption, because that's what it became, no doubt about it, the assumption that Hearts would finish third starting to wear off on anyone?
Oh yeah, you know, we've got a major game tomorrow at Kilmarnock. They're bottom six, and if Kilmarnock get a result having beaten St Johnstone at Rugby Park midweek, then the fans who have an uneasy relationship with Robbie Nielsen start to do the sums. Two European ties at home against Fiorentina and Istanbul, seven goals for the opposition, none for Hearts. Last two games played by Hearts, 4-0 for Rangers, 3-0 for Fiorentina, both at Tynecastle. That's another 7-0.
Do you start a degree of sympathy on the fact that, you know, you do well to get to Europe, but with that comes the increased chance that you get a heavy defeat because you're up against teams like Fiorentina who've got players who used to play for Real Madrid, and then also Liam Boyce maybe out for the season, Craig Halkett, Kyle Rowe as well, just, you know, centre back issues all over the place. It's not ideal, is it?
Yeah, you look at, for instance, they're not in a good run. I think if you go back even games after that, they're not in a good run at all, conceding too many goals. They're too easy to score against for me. I watched the second half on Thursday night, and everybody was talking about, you know, Fiorentina, they've not got off to a great start, but the quality they had in their ranks was incredible, the amount of money they've spent. And I thought Hearts were very lucky. I thought it should have been a lot more.
But domestically, Hearts are the best of the rest here. They've got the
you
best
still think
squad.
So though, in terms of this season, you think they'll finish there now?
I still believe.
I think their injuries have killed them.
They will. But their injuries, yeah, you're right. Big players have been injured. But they've still got, for me, the best squad of the rest of the teams. So domestically, you know, take the European side to one side. Domestically, they should.
You think they've got a better squad in paper than Aberdeen, for instance?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think the fact that Halkett, centre back, is a big miss for him. Boyce up the top, you know, he's been a big signing for them, is a big miss. I think Hearts are very, watching them lately.
So just don't, that's recently, the only two though. They're big players, I get it, but
I
your
think
squad has
very,
to be better than two players missing.
I think they're very easy to score against, and I don't think they've got a stronger squad than Aberdeen.
Morton 2, Hamilton Accies 0, Jay's Cabia with the second there, so it's all going to plan. The boom boom music will get turned up extra loud when George Bowie comes in, Hugh,
oh,
if
yeah.
that stays that way or they add to it.
Well, you know, Boogie and me doing a great job at Morton. And they're a good club who've known good times and hard times, and it's nice to see them doing well.
Those Ange Postecoglou thoughts getting ever closer, so stay tuned, we'll bring you them very soon.
When you say very interesting, have you had
a sneak
preview?
No, just generally speaking, I know the Celtic fans still hang on his every word.
Because his every word is very interesting, and that's why I quoted him at 12:30 when the programme, or 12 o'clock when the programme started, because he challenged his players today. I don't think they rose to the challenge to everyone's satisfaction, but they got the points, and that at the end of the day is all that matters. But there are still concerns that Ange Postecoglou has to address, and I repeat, and I'll look forward to the calls at 5 o'clock, I think he made substitutions before Celtic had the points wrapped up at St Johnstone, and it almost come back to bite him in a sensitive area.
I'm pretty sure he'll say something like, we should have won by more, but we will find out in the not too distant future. Keep your guesses coming on that teaser, by the way. Remind us of the question, Hugh, if you can.
Yep, it's quite simple. Name me the last four Celtic players and the last four Rangers players to be sent off in European competitions from the group stages onwards.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's a really good question, because some of the answers on there I did not expect.
No,
I must admit. Very tough, some of them. How are you two faring?
We've got none.
None?
None.
Seriously?
Well, Daz wrote one to me that can't
if
be one.
Has anyone got them all right yet? I'm not sure they will have. I think that's really, really tough, I must say. We'll do some wrong answers then if we can. Gaz wants to throw in John Lundstrom.
Nope.
John Flanagan.
Nope.
Are they both in qualifiers? I think that's why.
Look, I've got one.
Yeah, group stages onwards. You have to listen to the question. Group stages onwards.
Lewis says Izaguirre against Ajax.
No.
So that must not be in the last four. That would have been fifth. If you like, I must admit, there's a guy on here for Celtic that I had no.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't think he would be sent off, put it that way.
Uh huh.
Just doesn't get many red cards. The Rangers ones are easier in the sense that they're all more recently. The Celtic list is definitely trickier there. So for instance, I'm going to give some clues early, because I think that
hard.
People are really
hard.
Struggling. Yeah,
we've got two.
All four Rangers ones. That's a lie. Three of the Rangers ones are in the current squad, still at the club. One has not been away for too long. Celtic ones are a bit harder.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, that's a good clue.
We'll leave that there, and you can see how you get on. Your other old team, Gordon. No, not them. Not Glen Afton. Man City are one up on Southampton. João Cancelo with the goal.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
Number seven wearing left back, isn't he?
Anything wrong with Alan today? 21 minutes, no goals. Slacking, maybe.
Give it time.
Bubble burst.
Ego.
Foot off the gas, call maybe, it what you will.
Maybe at the cash line, looking and going, what is my balance? But what a player he is. What
like some sort of
honestly,
Ivan Drago isn't he?
I know you laugh at this, but I do think in my day, fitting in with him up front, me just playing off him.
You're right, we'll laugh at that.
Nah, we'll laugh at that. He's just shown me, he's just nudged me there and shown me somebody's text him. He stats.
It was Roger.
Was it Roger?
Yeah,
was
Roger.
He stats 300 odd games, 202 goals. That's decent at that level.
Incredible though, Hugh. Just when you think he can't plunge to further depths, he's turned a conversation about Erling Haaland.
Yeah.
That Erling Haaland to himself. I mean, seriously. Yeah,
I mean, a man who nearly knocked over a sandwich machine today.
Exactly.
We'll have our days.
Bit of a problem for Motherwell. Blair Spittle been in good form. He's gone down a couple of times, so it looks like I mean, David Friel says he's gubbed. I don't know if is that a technical term.
Yeah.
So is that the Cumbernauld term, that
the old diagnosis from the physio. It looks like he may well have to go off. So that teaser's causing one or two problems.
Very good, whoever made that one up. Very good.
Very
teaser.
Tough. I don't know how you would know all those, I must admit. Yeah, really tough.
Sorry, Hugh, is it supposed to be your teaser? I don't know if I've...
That's all right.
Shatter the illusion that Hugh doesn't actually make them up.
Hugh, well done. Good research.
Tell you what, the top of the table clash in League 2, still an Albion 3, Dumbarton 0, Dale Carrick on 22 minutes. Mark Wilson, you've got your head in your hands. Is that because you're a former Dumbarton player?
I'm gutted. Yeah.
Or have you got a wee vested interest in that one, I wonder?
I'm gutted.
Please gamble responsibly.
I always like to see Dumbarton doing well. And I hate it when things are ruined 22 minutes in to your Saturday afternoon.
Ross Tierney comes on for Motherwell to replace Blair Spittle. Morton 3, Hamilton Accies 0.
Oh.
And it's a former Accie. It's Grant Gillespie, spent many years there at the start of his career. And it's Morton 3, Hamilton Accies 0. That's a real sore one. Hamilton fans won't be too chuffed.
No, John Rankin there, great young coach. Good friend, former teammate. But he's
I think Hamilton Accies fans are calling him a great young coach just now. And by the way, I like John, but I just feel
he's
like
he's sitting ninth. He's sitting second bottom.
Yeah.
You know,
so about youth at Hamilton.
Yeah, the great thing is Hamilton board, like, they stick by their managers for a long time before they pull the trigger. But
what about last season? How John got the job?
But I think there was a lot more to that, I think. Okay, one swallow again. Managers gone before that have had plenty of time, I've got to say. But that is a sore one, especially you're not even at the half time, you're 3-0 down.
One way traffic at Ibrox, 80% possession for Rangers. They have created all the chances, they've had most of the shots, and they've scored the only goal through Antonio Colak. It was a good old striker's finish, this one. Off the post from range from Borna Barisic, just followed up and tapped it in. And that's the only goal of the game so far.
I think a performance like this for Rangers, the way this game has started, is the result of changing your front three. You know, after the disappointment and the energy that was sapped midweek, that you put in a full new front three, you get pace, energy, people trying to prove a point, I think is right up there as well. And you need that in days like this, where things were flat on Tuesday night, and St Mirren could come and make it difficult. Fast start, and Van Bronckhorst has certainly got that. And the only surprise is it is only 1-0 at the minute, because they've been great going forward.
It shows you how quickly football changes. You're going along to Ibrox and Morelis is not number one pick today. Kent's not number one pick today. You know, they were certain starters week in, week out. Obviously taking a dip, and Morelis, we try to get his fitness and his sharpness. But all credit to Colak, he's banging the goals in.
SFM, well, it doesn't stand for something dodgy, but anyway, he's on Twitter, and he's followed my not so cryptic clue. There is one of these in the teaser. It's a Celtic one that you just don't expect to have been sent off. In fact, I wonder if it's his only
sending off
ever. No, it's not. He's got, I think, one more. And there's only one person on Twitter that's got all eight of these. So let's read the question again. Let's give some more clues, Hugh.
Name the last four players from Celtic and the last four from Rangers to be sent off in European competitions from the group stages onwards.
Here are your clues. Rangers, three of them are still at the club, one's not long gone, they're all fairly recent red cards. Celtic, only one is still at the club, and he's the one that you would not expect to have been sent off in a European game. The other three are a bit trickier. Stranraer 0, Elgin City 2, Russell Dingwall with the penalty on 27 minutes.
Yeah.
You two just talking amongst yourselves.
Sorry.
It's good. No, it's fine. I like to see your teamwork on the teaser. Yeah, it's actually good to see that you've made up, because I sensed a bit of tension between you earlier, because there was a couple of things bubbling away. You're not happy. And I want to throw this out to the listeners even to see how acceptable or unacceptable they think your case is. You're not happy with Mark Wilson because he won't give you a loan of a suit.
Why do you have to tell everybody?
You're going to a wedding, and rather doing what anyone else would do and going buying one yourself, or even hiring one if the mood takes you,
I wouldn't hire a suit.
You're badgering Mark to give you a loan of his suit.
Look, we're the same size.
We're not the same size. We're not the same size.
But is that not the equivalent of hiring a suit?
Exactly.
If you hire it from him?
No, because he doesn't need to pay him. That's the key difference.
Exactly.
But it's the same
disgusting behaviour.
I know, but it's classic. It's always about the money with him.
Classic Tam out of Still Game.
It wasn't.
You look like a guy that's got a suit. Can I borrow a suit?
See, if it's something a bit more specialist, I'd get that. Like, look, I need a loan of this. I'm only going to use it once. I don't think you go around borrowing folks'
suits. I'm not getting
suits.
Married again, so I don't need an R suit. And plus, if I'm quite willing to get my own shirt and tie and shoes.
Well, that's nice.
No way they are. He genuinely asked what size a shoe was earlier as well. But he's one. So he says, I said, well, what colour are you at? Blue. Definitely blue. So.
What is
I'm not
size.
Bringing in my suit. I'm not, you're not
same
getting a loan of a suit.
Trousers and everything.
Is this not this recent weight loss thing? You're maybe getting a bit carried away. Do you think you're
as athletic as me?
Well, I can't touch my toes like you, but
can you not just go and buy a suit? I mean, seriously.
I think you're just kidding on.
Right, you said to me the other day, where do I get a one day suit? This is honest truth. Sitting in the office, I said, I've never heard that term before. I said, what's a one day suit? Oh, a suit that you just wear for one day. Pretty obvious. I said, well, why would you want? Because I'll never wear it again. But of course you'll wear it again.
I've got suits, but I just don't like them.
Because it'll be any big baggy ones.
They're too big in the waist and that for me. Hugh, have you got any decent suits in the house?
Plenty, yeah.
I don't know. I just can't imagine going to one of my mates and saying, can I borrow a suit? Unless it was something really specialist or last minute.
Could leave a wee envelope inside.
Or if somebody says, that's a nice suit you got, you're looking smart. Where'd you get it? Oh, it's not mine. I borrowed this.
It's Mark Wilson's Celtic TV one.
This is the one he wore when Coolio stood next to him.
Do you want me to get you that one? That is famous.
Brilliant.
Shiny grey. That would go with your hair.
I'll put a nice shirt and tie to that and look good. Model.
Nah, you would ruin it.
Would
I don't
you dry
know
clean
state.
It before giving it back?
Absolutely no chance.
I would have to
imagine the
it.
State it would come
I'd
back
I'd just
in.
Burn it, I think. Throw it in the bonfire.
Penalty Rangers. Oh. Two words that get Scottish football going like no other. And the referee has pointed to the spot.
So Tavernier, we'll that's 2-0 then, and on we go.
Game over. We'll I see. Said the second goal was an important one, Hugh.
If Rangers could double their advantage on pretty much the half hour mark.
Well, they deserve it anyway, because they've been battering at the door for so long.
James Tavernier steps up, and you know the rest. Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements. Rangers 2, St Mirren 0. James Tavernier makes no mistake from the penalty spot, and the home side double their advantage. Antonio Colak sent them on their way, and James Tavernier scores the penalty. Stephen Robinson, I know all managers do this, but he's pretty surprised about the award of the penalty. He feels that they were very, very hard done by. Like Scottish football always deals in some controversy, Hugh, but he's not impressed with that.
Well, we don't have VAR, and you know, you saw in the Celtic game during the week, two goals that VAR rightly disallowed in the case of the RB Leipzig games. But I'm not sure that Rangers were justified getting the penalty. Stephen Robinson will have his say after the game, but until we have VAR, then he'll just have to accept that perhaps harshly he's gone too behind. But that's the end of the game anyway. You have to be realistic in life. St Mirren 2-0 down at Ibrox after 30 minutes don't win that game. They don't get a draw either. So the game is at a premature end. And that's why Celtic had such a fraught day in Perth. They couldn't get the second goal to put their own case beyond all doubt. But Rangers have done it early. And that's the end of the match.
Yeah, Rangers an easy street. Gordon always reliable. James Tavernier steps up. Yet another goal from him.
Yeah, penalty kick. But I said to you earlier, the one goal As long as you're only one, you're still thinking you're in the game. That finishes St Mirren for me. I think Rangers will have a comfortable afternoon. It's just a case of sometimes when you've got that 2-goal lead, you take the foot off the gas a little bit. But there's players out there really looking to prove a point forward for Wednesday night's game against Liverpool, you know, Gordon.
They went into the big boys' playground in Anfield and they fell apart. But now they're in their own playground and they know that St Mirren at 2-0 down are finished.
Alloa nil, Dunfermline 1, Aaron Comrie with the goal. Tommy Muir's been sent off for Annan Athletic. Man City 2 up on Southampton through Phil Foden. And I think already you lot have got this game won, which is understandable. And it means that Rangers would cut Celtic's gap back to 2 points. That's after Celtic left it extremely late. They were pegged back in the 92nd minute. They won it in the 95th. And here is what Ange Postecoglou had to say.
Yeah, look, it's a game we probably should have put to bed a little bit earlier with the chances we had. And at 1-0, you kind of know it's always a little bit on a knife edge, particularly. They're a team that will just lump balls into the box and they're going to have to defend sometimes pretty desperately. But they obviously got the goal late. But, you know, again, great character and resilience by the lads. And, you know, we did it a few times last year and I think, you know, we're going to have to show that at times again this year. And, you know, you can win a game of football many, many ways, but winning it this way also provides you some confidence in the fact that, you know, we still have that character and resilience within the group. Beginning of the year, we were kind of putting everything away. Now we're going through a patch where, you know, we're not as clinical in front of goal. But as I said, during the course of a season, that's going to happen. And, you know, we're going to have to show that character we showed today if we want to be successful. And, you know, like I said, you know, credit to the players, they did it.
Fairly predictable response in the sense, Hugh, that, well, that's how most people would see it. Celtic should have won more comfortably, didn't score, and then that makes it nervous at the end.
Yeah, but it's becoming a predictable and regular response. And there will be occasions when the late goal doesn't come. And for some reason, and Mark Wilson said that even he couldn't put his finger on it, but for some reason, they're just not taking their chances as they once did. And that includes Kyogo. It includes Abada, who missed a sitter today, Jota. So yes, they got there, and yes, it was thrilling, and yes, it kept them 2 points ahead of Rangers at the top of the league. But goal droughts are never easy on the eye.
I suppose it's not a drought though, is it? Because they scored two, Gordon. You, I know your take on it's always quite,
I'm positive on it,
quite consistent that actually the goals do come if you keep creating the chances.
100%. And as I say, you look at their league record just now, 29-5 against, something like that. That's not bad, Gordon. And it could be a lot more. Yes, we're not denying it. The Celtic manager saying that, look, a while ago we were putting everything in the back of net. But as long as you're a coach and you're watching your team creating chance after chance after chance, you know it's going to click. It'd be worse if you're thinking, where's my next goal coming from? I think that's where the panic button would come in.
Because I suppose, Mark, like, it's 2-0 to Ayr United, by the way, in our featured championship game. That man, Depot, again, Roger's favourite. He's got a double, and Ayr 2-0 up on Queen's Park. If you're Ange Postecoglou, Mark, at this point, you can probably afford to be still optimistic in that Lila Bada's not just going to keep missing one-on-ones or open goals all season long. If you can't create chances, then you think, maybe we need to change something. But as we said earlier, it's kind of hard to tell people, oh, by the way, going to just score that. There's only so much you can then do.
Yeah, well, I think if this was Abada's first season and this is our first glimpse of him when he misses a couple of chances, then you go, oh, you know, he's got a lot of work to do. Abada has scored goals time and again since his debut at Celtic. So, you know, he's got it. You know, he's got that killer instinct. And it just so happens that a few of them are going through a period that they're finding it difficult to put those chances away. Like I say, if you keep creating them, I'm with us, it will click and they will get back in form. But the important thing is, when you're going through that stage, domestically I'm talking about, you've got guys like Jacky Marcus who will put one of them away in the final minutes. Ange Postecoglou just said there's many ways to win a game, and sometimes this way just brings things together. I think he learns a lot for his team, you know, that resilience that It will be sticky sometimes. They won't win every game 3 and 4 nil, but he knows he's got players with a character to get them out of hole. Sometimes that's important if you want to win league.
The hardest thing in football is to score goals. Put the ball in the back of the net. There's no doubt in that. The hardest thing is to put that ball in the back of the net. And yes, there's one or two, you know, getting good chances that you would think on another day would probably score. But I'm with you, Mark. I think if you're, as long as you're creating them, it'll certainly come. And you know, I know they got a fright today when St Johnstone went 1-1, but this showed the character to come back and get 3 points.
It's been amplified because of the Champions League games, because of Real Madrid. The performance for 45 minutes was spot on, and those chances that Abada spurned in particular, followed by Shakhtar, that's maybe the one that got away in this Champions League group, followed by Leipzig. You know, those Champions League games have really, you know, brought it into focus, because in domestically, you know, there'll always be a Giakoumakis, or there might be an Abada against Dundee United last week. Yeah. But
what was it, Dingwall, Anthony Ralston?
Ralston. So it's not so much a concern at home, but because it's cost them in the Champions League.
It was against St Mirren.
Well, they didn't create anything against St Mirren.
Yeah, they deserved to get
beat. It's also the first defeat in a year, wasn't it? So it's hard to be too knee jerk on that.
St Mirren,
if you're the Celtic manager,
totally different from me, St Mirren, because
because they didn't create the chances.
The creativity wasn't there. You couldn't have said this one and that one missed, this is adding to your problems.
Right,
nobody was at it.
Couple of updates. Another shot over the bar from Rangers, so they're very much looking for a third before the break. And if it's not over already, as the guys suspect it is, then it definitely would be if another went in. Joe Newell's shot easily held by Liam Kelly. Slight concern maybe for Rangers. Ben Davies is down at the moment. We know he's not had a straightforward start to his Rangers career health wise but he's down at the moment. I should say, nah, it doesn't look too serious actually. I think he's going to be fine. St Mirren did have their one moment, and maybe should have done better actually, Gordon. They had a free header in the bar, in the box at the back post. Cross came over, there was a lot of time, but it ended up just going straight at the goalkeeper. It was Marcus Fraser, I think, up at the back post.
I think Marcus Fraser will be highly disappointed.
Yeah, it's quite a big chance, wasn't it? Yeah, considering they've not been in the game.
You know, you're looking and you're thinking, are there going to be better chances coming? Especially when Rangers are 2-0 up, dominating the ball at Ibrox. And when these chances come, you've got to... Look, I'm not saying you've got to score every chance, but you've got to test McGregor in goals. It was a poor, poor effort.
Can't remember if I even told you about Arbroath's equaliser, Bobby Lynn. Club legend, 37 minutes there. Are both one Dundee one.
Seems to score every year. It's like the
every year,
Forest, huh? Season after season.
It's like once a year. Right,
I thought you meant every year.
No,
that's me going,
Michael. I mean, he's been there a long, long
he's
time.
A fair age now, isn't he?
He's a favourite up there.
I was at school when he scored his first one.
36, in fact.
36, huh?
37 on Monday.
Oh, why would you Lynn put your body through that? Play it that
he
age.
Obviously keeps himself in shape, trim.
Paul Hanlon's been booked for chopping down Joe Efford about 22 yards out. One of the old take one for the team. Had to give him a kick, David Friel says. And maybe a free kick to Motherwell. Blair Spittle would fancy it, I'm sure, but he's gone off injured. Or I think he did. Did we get confirmation of that? So it sounds like a decent game. Kevin Van Veen and Sean Goss standing over the ball. Bobby Lynn had his testimonial, of course, last Sunday at Gayfield.
Oh, good. Who did he play?
That I don't know, I must admit.
I would probably say someone up there. Is St Johnson?
St Johnson near Arbroath?
Is it?
Not really.
You'd maybe go Dundee United. Okay.
Not particularly.
Or Dundee United. Or Dundee.
Not particularly, I wouldn't say.
No.
No, certainly not.
Not really.
No.
Montrose.
Well, you're getting closer, I
closer,
think.
Closer, yeah.
Forfar. Breaking.
Yeah, now you're
Forfar.
Now you're getting closer.
Forfar.
Yeah, Kevin Van Veen deflected wide. Poor effort from him. Still goalless there in that one. Forfar nil, he's 5-1, actually, just right on cue. It was against our both legends.
All right, okay.
In house efforts.
It's always disappointing that, isn't it? If you're a fan going along and seeing Arbroath against Arbroath legends, which mean a team old guys.
Not everyone got to play in the type of testimonial where they give you a fancy designer watch and you then go get it stolen off you by a magician in Ibiza who says he wants to show you a trick.
And by the way, By the way, how he's fallen from the sky, right? He's pitched up here today with a fake Rolex. So it's going backwards. I can hear it ticking. It's like sitting next to Big Ben here.
Do you know what? Actually, you sent me something through the week, Phil, that was interesting.
Did you see that?
So there's a video appeared on TikTok. Sorry, Hugh.
Uh-huh.
I know, we've just got you into Twitter, right? We're now.
There's no
video.
Clock.
Mark sent me this video on TikTok, and I don't really know the origins. Is it just a guy?
I just got sent it.
He's come across this, and it's a fancy. Is it a tag? It's some sort it's of a tag, fancy yeah. watch. Tag. And he's out there on TikTok, and he's not Scottish. I guess he's not got the knowledge required to answer what's a fairly easy riddle for us. He turns the watch over, and on the back of it, it's got Scott Brown CFC. Written on the back.
Scott Brown 8, isn't it?
Yeah. And he's sort of saying to his followers, does anyone know what this is? You know, who is this? What does this mean? So somewhere along the line, Mark Wilson's not the only Celtic player to lose a very expensive watch.
It turns out it was the watch given by Scott and his testimonial against Republic of Ireland.
So someone else has lost their watch.
It's lost a testimonial watch. And I think this fella has got it from one of these second-hand jewelers.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, those magicians, honestly, those pesky magicians.
So MD going along to Renfrew Bingo tonight, that's a fake Rolex. He's got the short sleeves on his shirt.
That's not fake.
He was going like to me, what do you think of the watch? What do you think of the watch? I went, it's okay if it went the right way.
Says the guy that wears his golf watch even when he's not playing.
Go what?
I can't believe getting a golf watch on even though you're not playing. How many yards to that vending machine up there?
I don't know what I'm hinting to the toilet.
Is that a pitch and wedge or a Stirling Albion 4 Dumbarton 0 Ross Geeky on 42 minutes?
Oh, it's getting worse. How disappointing is that?
Are you actually going to the bingo in Renfrew tonight?
No, totally. My mate's
putting a bingo night on, and it's okay to raise money.
Ask him how he's getting there.
Is there not a bit of drama? I overheard you asking him for a lift, and he's refusing to take
it. I listen to this, right? So ask him.
Give your pal a lift after the show.
Can you drop me? It's just on the way home, just a slight detour. Not a chance. So we've came here that I'm going to get.
But hold on. Why? You're always bragging now about how the quickest way home from here is up and over the Erskine Bridge, down the M8. Nah. Take your pal to Renfrew.
No chance.
Don't worry, you won't get caught in the Ibrox traffic at all. You'll be fine.
Well, I forgot about that.
Why have you brought that up?
No. He's not giving me a suit, so he's not getting in my car. Petrol's very expensive nowadays. But ask him, we've fixed it, Gordon. We've got him right to the front door. Ask him how he's going. Pound. It's only costing him a pound.
You getting the Renfrew ferry?
I'm going to get the Renfrew ferry.
Is that run on a Saturday night in October?
Wee Bob sitting at the docks.
I believe it does run, but if anyone knows otherwise.
How many people go to the bingo by sea?
Jet set lifestyle.
Wee Bob sitting there.
Did you even know that was a thing? I bet that's new information for you.
I could not believe that. I had to Google, and it was only a pound.
Yeah, it's just along the road. So you come in, there's a wee right turn down.
I had no idea about the Renfrew ferry.
Go take the ferry.
Well,
you want to take me?
You've been on it in the past, have you?
I used to take my kids when they were young to the park in Renfrew. We went on the ferry.
I'd like that, you know. I've never been on it either.
I'm going over with him just to make sure he gets there.
So you won't give him a lift, but you go and see how he gets on.
No, I just want to go on the ferry.
Hugh, read the question one more, and I'll do the answers and the winner at half time. But it'll give us a wee heads up before we go.
Name the last four players from Celtic and the last four from Rangers to be sent off in European competitions from the group stages onwards.
I like this. Kai has just sent me this. Fraser Wishart's brought it to my attention as well. Hot on the heels of Crossbar Gate at Livy. Peterhead say a temporary pause in play as the assistant referee asks the Peterhead physio for some tape to fix his flag.
We should be sponsored by a DIY store at
absolutely,
this rate.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you know one man of the match, and was there a B&Q cup before?
Yeah, yeah.
You got vouchers.
That's right.
For the guy who can't even change a light bulb.
Absolutely no good to me whatsoever.
What did you use them for?
In fact, I've just found out
the vending machine.
I've just found out.
Can I cash these in?
I had my blinds in the wrong window. Incredible. I couldn't pull the things down because I had them in the wrong window.
Right, anyway, dilemmas. 4-4 5-2. We're approaching the end of the first half, so we'll get a good roundup of everything that is going on. It is half time in our featured championship match, Roger Hanna.
Yeah, half time here. United 2, Queen's Park 0. An excellent first half at Somerset Park. The difference between the sides, Gordon, quite simply, has been the Championship's top goal scorer, Dipo Akinyemi. Two more goals for the honest men to take his league tally for the season to 9. Queen started brightly. Dom Thomas, really smart player. A good save for Charlie Albinson after 4 minutes, but Ayr took the lead a couple of minutes later. Good build up play. The ball fed out to Scotland under 21 left back Paddy Redding. He delivered a deep cross from the left, and there was Akinyemi at the back post to head firmly past Callum Ferry. Good stop at the other end by Albinson again, this time a back post at the back post to deny the Spider skipper Simon Murray in 17 minutes. And in 32, big Stephen Eze up from the back for Queen's Park, but he headed woefully off target with a goal gaping from a free kick, and he was punished 4 minutes later, 2-0 to Ayr after 36 minutes. A sweeping move involving all of Ayr's front four. Brad Young to Logan Chalmers, Chalmers to Josh Mullen, through ball to Akinyemi, took it into the box, he dummied, he left the goalkeeper Ferry in his backside and then rolled the ball into the net for the 9th of the season in the league. Queen's Park's response was good. A Thomas Corden on the right, a scramble in the 6-yard box and somehow hacked off the line. Then Jack Thompson striding forward from midfield, inches wide from the edge of the box as Queen's Park pushed hard to get back into the game, but they almost fell 3 down right on the stroke of half-time. Young, clean through, looked a decent shot in the angle just inside the 6-yard box, but somehow goalkeeper Ferry managed to extend a left foot and push the ball out. It's just about kept the Spiders in the game. Ayr United 2, Queen's Park 0.
Have we got any other half-time whistles yet? We do. Easter Road, it's half-time there, David Friel.
Yeah, half-time, Gordon. Hibs 0, Motherwell 0. No goals here, but plenty of action and entertainment. It's been a good game. Hibs have had the better chances, probably. Motherwell have always carried a threat. Sean Goss actually volleyed wide to the visitors in the first minute with a really decent effort. Hibs aiming straight up the other end. Josh Campbell, he's been good today. He played Martin Boyle in. The winger took an early shot, and Liam Kelly made a good low save. Hibs pressed for a 10-minute spell after that. Played some lovely stuff. Eli Yuan raced down the left, but Sondre Solholm this time made a brilliant tackle. Chris Cadden against his old club. He was next to have a go after a real penalty box scrimmage, but Sean Goss made the block this time. Motherwell were really dangerous in the break. You could see Stevie Hamill's game plan. Joe Efford cut in from the right wing and fired wide from 16 yards. That was in 20 minutes. It's been pretty even since then. Motherwell lost Blair Spittle to injury. Ross Tierney is on. Hibs have had most of the ball. Ryan Portis had a free kick save. But Motherwell are really good in the break, and Paul Hanley got a deserved booking for bringing down Efford after a brilliant run. He was probably going to get a shot away, but he had to take one for the team. That free kick came to nothing, and this one is really still in the balance. Half time, Hibs 0, Motherwell 0.
Any other half times? Yes, Livingston with the squinty crossbar and all the rest of it. How are those temporary goals holding up, Fraser?
Well, I have to say the temporary goal has not been threatened one iota, and nor has the goal at the other end. Perhaps not surprisingly, it's Livingston 0, Ross County 0. And after all that drama you're talking about, Gordon Hunter, the place, one of the goal posts, everyone on the pitch has been really flat. No action or excitement. My half-time report similar to that 7 days ago when Livy played St Mirren. Livy have been the better team, but it's been pretty poor stuff by both of them. Just one proper chance which came in the 15th minute. First effort at a goal by either team. A low-driven cross by Christian Mantano did well on the left-hand side, drove it across the 6-yard box, and there was Curtis Guthrie. He was kind of on the half-turn, but he got his foot to the ball and got a solid strike on the ball when the ball went about 2 yards wide, and he really should have scored. Joel Noble was very lively on the left. He took a heavy knock for a Keith Watson tackle. Fans wanted red. The referee said yellow, and then just a couple of minutes later, he danced inside Watson and saw his shot, which was on target, hit teammate Guthrie on about the penalty spot. But other than Noobly, little in a way of attacking play. Half hour went by, Ross County not having an effort in goal. George in the Livingston goal, a virtual spectator. That said, Libby didn't look scoring either at the other end, despite dominating the play. Jason Holt's done his best. He's been excellent throughout the first 45, breaking up the play, driving into the box, but unfortunately couldn't turn any of his real efforts into a goal or even a shot. And then just on 41 minutes, Awura Edwards did have a shot on goal, first at County have had, the only one in the game. He got himself a yard inside the penalty box on the left-hand side. His left-foot shot was about 10 yards wide. Levy gave a couple of thousand tickets away to school kids, and the parents and adults with them will be hoping the second half is better, because they're all beginning to get a bit agitated around me because nothing is happening here. Half-time, Livingston 0, Ross County 0.
I thought Fraser was going to say they're going to ask for money back on free tickets, but surely not been that bad yet. I think that's us got all the half-time stories. Of course, it is half-time from Ibrox, where Rangers lead by 2-0. The first one, a great striker's finish by the in-form Antonio Colak, can do no wrong in front of goal in the Premiership at the moment. Lots of chances. Ryan Jack had a shot saved. Scott Arfield had a sniff. Tavernier had one tipped over. That was a sign of things to come for the captain. Colak went down in the box. Referee Nick Walsh gave the penalty, and as is so often the case, Tavernier made no mistake there. So Rangers on Easy Street, one chance for St Mirren. They couldn't take it, and at the break it is Rangers 2, St Mirren 0. We will do the halftime scores and the answers to the first half teaser next.
Action as it happens, and your reaction from 5 on the open line. This is Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
It is half time in the 3 o'clock games. Plenty of entertainment out there as always. Some games maybe not quite as entertaining as others, but the scores at the moment, there's a full time from Perth, as you probably know. St Johnstone 1, Celtic 2. At half time in the Scottish Premiership, Hibs 0, Motherwell 0, Livingston 0, Ross County 0, Rangers 2, St Mirren 0, and Dundee United Aberdeen's a 6 o'clock kick-off. In the Championship, Arbroath 1, Dundee 1, Ayr 2, Queen's Park 0, Morton 3, Hamilton Accies 0, Raith Rovers 2, Cove Rangers 0. In Scottish League 1, it's Airdrie 1, Queen of the South 2, Airdrie 2, Queen of the South 2, Alloa 0, Dunfermline 2, Clyde 0, Montrose 0, FC Edinburgh 1, Kelty Hearts 0, Peterhead 0, Falkirk 1. In League 2, Albion Rovers 2, Bonnie Rig Rose 1, Forfar 0, East Fife 2, Stenhouse Muir 0, Annan 1, Stirling Albion 4, Dumbarton 0, and Stranraer 2, Elgin City 2. If the English Premier League does tickle your fancy, I'll give you a quick update there. At the break, it's Bournemouth 0, Leicester 1, Chelsea 1, Wolves 0, Man City 2, Southampton 0, and Newcastle 2, Brentford 0. In terms of that first half teaser, if you're ready, Hugh Evans, let's put the people out of their misery.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
You read the answers, I'll provide the detail. On you go.
I asked you to name the last four players from Celtic and Rangers to be sent off in European competitions from the group stages onwards. The Rangers players: James Sands,
Napoli recently of course,
Glenn Kamara,
Sparta Prague last year,
Leon Balogun,
Slavia last year,
and Kamar Roof,
also Slavia last year.
The Celtic players: Vakun Bio,
against Rennes back in 2019,
Jeremy Toyan
against Valencia 2019, these are tough,
James Forrest,
Salzburg 2018,
Near Beaton,
all the way back to Bonfire Night 2015 against Molde. If you got them, quite frankly, you're a genius. So well done. Third place, Sideshow Bob. Second place, Liam Mick 334. And the winner of the first half teaser was Mark Robson. Well done to you. The second half won a Who Am I? Just the one name. And we'll get the second halves up and running next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.